Craft Marketing presents Business of Craft, a show designed to help entrepreneurs start, grow, and thrive in the yarn, fabric, and craft industry.
My name is Leanne Presley, and I'll be your host through our second season of Business of Craft. Our theme is Wantrepreneurs, and all our episodes will cover the basic topics you need to launch a business in the fiber, fabric, or craft industry. Listen for new shows every other week where I chat with guests about why you need a business plan, how to set up your financials, how to hire great staff, and outline a marketing strategy guaranteed to sell more stuff. So grab your project and pour a cup of tea, and let's get started crafting a better business together. Welcome, everybody, to season two of Business of Craft. My guest today is Sean Allison. He's a business and marketing consultant with the Central Mountain Small Business Development Center. And Sean has more than 20 years of experience in business development. He's also done direct marketing, strategic planning, budgeting, marketing automation, and graphic design. He's also a local licensed real estate broker here in my hometown of Salida, Colorado. And Sean is joining us today to give us the down and dirty lowdown on how to write an effective business plan. So welcome to Business of Craft, Sean Allison.
Well, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Well, Sean, this season of Business of Craft is all about wantrepreneurs, which I kind of describe as folks that are looking to get into business or thinking about business. And, you know, we always hear about the business plan, you know, and that being like the most important component of having a successful business. But I've also heard the opposite. And there's a lot of people that are like, no, you don't need it. Just jump right in. So what do you think? Do we absolutely have to have a business plan in order to launch?
Well, I think that's a great question. And you know, I think it depends on a few factors. And one thing that I'd like to say is a business plan really gives you a roadmap or a starting point, a way to organize your thoughts. And if you think of anything that you've done in your life, whether it's learning how to do a new sport or learn a new skill, you just don't totally jump into it blind. And so in a lot of ways, a business plan can help you create that roadmap and really start to focus on the things that are most important and gaps that you may need to fill in starting your business.
Right. Good advice. And we know there's a lot of different components to the business plan. And I'm just going to let our listeners know, we probably don't have enough time in the show today to unpack every single detail. But maybe we can start with just a few of the more critical elements. And then maybe, Sean, we can just kind of break those down bit by bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, one of the things to consider is, what is the purpose of this business plan? Are you going to go out and get funding? Are you going to borrow money from friends and family? Are you going to quit your job and start this business? Do you have the skills necessary to really be successful at this business? And so I really think you can tailor that business plan to kind of fit your needs and focus on those areas that maybe you need to do a lot more research in. And so, you know, if you think about some of those critical elements is, you know, what is my business proposition? What is this business going to be about? How's this business going to make money? Mm. You know, pretty important.
Yeah, really critical. All right.
Yeah. Is this a hobby business? Which is fine. And you know, how are you going to define success of this business? Is this something that you're really looking to scale up, to franchise, to go nationally, internationally with? Or is this something that's going to be a local business that you're doing more of a job replacement? And so I think, you know, some of those elements will really help you to kind of figure out, again, where the gaps are and where some of that strategic planning needs to come in before you you kind of jump off the cliff, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So you mentioned some of the skills necessary to do the work. How would somebody go about doing that kind of a self-assessment? You know, everybody thinks, oh, well, I can do this. But I feel like at least with some of the clients coming to Stitchcraft, way back when they started their business, they probably were lacking in a few skills. Is that like a make it or break it deal if you don't have all the skills? Or how do you assess whether or not you have the skills to do a successful business?
I think it's a great way to kind of look at yourself on paper and think critically about some of the areas that you may be lacking. Everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. Everybody has things that they're super passionate about. If you're really good at production and that's an important component to your business, but maybe you don't have quite the skills in sales or marketing or accounting, mm-hmm. The business plan is a great way to start filling in those gaps and figuring out where are those resources going to come from. Is this something I need to learn? Is this something I need to hire? Is this something I need to outsource? Because in running a business, as you know, there are so many things that are critical for success. And a lot of it comes down to execution. And it's really hard to execute on everything all the time.
Right. And to do it really well. And I always share with people, you know, when I started this business, I wasn't good at everything, but I didn't let that stop me. You know, I did the things I was really good at. And like you said earlier, I found other people to outsource to. So the accounting is one great example. I have a bookkeeper and I have an accountant. And when, you know, I start getting into the weeds with some of that stuff, I'm like, I'm calling Katie or I'm calling Anne. So you don't have to be really, really great at every single aspect of your business. Is that right?
That is. And, you know, I think the thing that is critical is you have to be really passionate about what it is that you're going to be taking on. Starting a business is not easy. Operating a business is not easy. But if you have that passion and that drive for your idea, then, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people that will help you be successful becomes really easy.
Right, right. So one of the other components in that first part of building your business plan is about a mission statement. Can you touch really quickly on what is a mission statement? And is that something listeners could kind of do quickly on their own? Or what's your process for coaching people through the mission statement?
Yeah, for sure. The mission statement, in my opinion, is something that is organic to your business. It tries to speak to the critical elements of your business, what sets your business apart. And it should not be something that you write once and you put on the shelf. And jumping ahead a little bit, when you get into the marketing portion of your business and your business planning, your marketing, your brand is really about your mission. If you think about, you know, what the importance of your brand is defining what you are as a company in such a way that makes it compelling to your clientele. And so, I would make it simple. I would then try to add on to that as things become important to you during this process. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that all makes sense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, what's the nature of your business? What are some defining business principles that are important to you? What are some financial goals? This business needs to make money, hopefully. And you know, what kind of culture are you going to cultivate to support those goals?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the mission is more than just what you're passionate about that you just touched on a minute ago. It really is more expansive than that, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yep.
I'm intrigued by this passion thing, though, especially for our listeners. As you know, Sean, our audience is mostly folks in the crafting space. And I believe that a lot of our listeners are tuning into the series because they're trying to start a business in the craft space, either with knitting or fabric or crocheting or whatever it happens to be. So passion, I think, is really important component for, you know, that's a big driver. So I want to read you this quote by Andrew Anker, and I'd love to get your, you know, sort of expanded feedback on that. So he says, first and foremost, you have to have passion. You've got to understand why you're going to be wildly successful, and you have to be able to sell it to people. It's really easy to write a business plan with lots of pretty charts and graphs, and if you can't present it to coworkers or employees or investors or ultimately your customer, you're not going anywhere. You have to be the passionate person who lives, breathes, eats, and sleeps the idea. So can you expand on that just a little bit? Maybe give us examples of folks you've seen with really true passion.
Yeah, I love that quote, by the way. I think, you know, something to keep in mind is you, when you start this business, you're going to have a lot of people that are very passionate about you being successful. And so you're going to have a lot of cheerleaders that are saying, you know, you should go out and you should do this. You should, you know, you have everything that it takes to run this business. And you see that with business owners and how, they sacrifice a lot to have a successful business. And, it's great to have a cheering section, but that only goes so far when you need to figure out how to fund this business and how to make sure that your sales are keeping up with your expenses. And those are the things that are important and hard to define from a business plan perspective. You know, what's that gumption that you have to have that, right, you know, makes it through year two?
Right. Yeah, exactly. You've got to have that to keep going. Because what do they say? Like, most businesses fail within the first 5 years. Is that still the statistic?
Yeah, I would imagine, and I would say they probably fail faster than that. And you know, jumping a little off topic, but you know, the finances and how this business works is really, really critical to the success. And you know, that's where your passion for your product, your production, your handcraft is really important. But you know, how does this, where does the rubber meet the road, so to speak,
right,
as far as, you know, how this thing's going to be successful?
Right. And the business plan really helps outline some of that, right? So let's talk about another important component of the business plan. What would you say would be sort of the next biggest chunk that people need to tackle?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go back to this financial plan and creating a really good estimated cash flow statement.
Okay.
And there's some great resources for that. And if you think about what a business plan is basically it's a way of supporting the financial infrastructure of that company. And so if you're going to ramp up sales by 10% a month for the first, you know, 2 years, that all is great. But how are you effectively going to make that happen? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what are the resources that are necessary? So if you think about the financial component, sales, fixed overhead, expenses, cash flow, profitability, things like that. What are those individual elements within those different categories that, are going to take some research, or going to, if you're investing in equipment, if you're investing in people, where those people are going to come from, where are you going to get financing for this equipment? And, you know, those become the words and the charts and the thought process behind those financial statements.
Mm. So you said that you had some resources for helping people kind of figure that out. What if I'm a listener and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have no idea how to estimate. What are my sales going to be? What are my expenses going to be? You know, how do you, what resources are out there? Or how do you advise people to take that first step for the financial piece?
You know, the first step is to just get something down on paper and to really start plugging things in and, you know, working through those scenarios. You know, I would really encourage people to talk with their colleagues, talk with competitors that are out of market, for example, talk with people that have direct relatable experience. And, you know, you'd be amazed at what people are willing to share. Business owners love to talk about how their business is either being successful or some of their challenges. And a lot of business owners will really help new entrepreneurs to be successful. And so, you know, think of it from a mentoring perspective. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of resources available through the Small Business Development Centers, which are regional offices all over the country. The SBA, you know, if you need to get information on tourism or traffic or things like that, there are resources through the Department of Transportation. You know, there's so much data out there, and you know, you can spend a lot of time poking through these resources and just kind of looking out there. But they're out there, and we can share some specifics as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. So using your example of travel, for example, let's say we have a listener interested in starting a company doing travel trips for fiber destinations, for example. You know, they want to take someone to Scotland for a knitting trip. You're saying there are resources available where they could figure out, you know, what some of those data points are so that they could plug that back into their cash flow spreadsheet to get a lot more accurate numbers in guessing. Because at the beginning, I imagine they're like, well, I have no idea how many people are going on the trip and I don't really know what I can charge. And, you know, so if you're not working with real numbers, it's pretty hard to get an accurate cash flow estimate.
Exactly. And so one of the things that you might do is look at like type of trips, you know, what are your competitors doing? That's an important element to a business plan is a competitive analysis. So what are your competitors charging? What's the length of their trip? What type of trips are they offering? How many people are traveling to Scotland on these types of adventures? And, you know, the statistics could come from, vacation associations that are associated with, you know, that particular niche of an industry, for example.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Good advice. And there definitely are other travel companies out there, if someone's specifically thinking about that as the example. And I also just want to point out, one of the things I've been intrigued with this year is I had the pleasure of interviewing Mike Michalowicz, who's the author of Profit First. And he was really advocating this sort of switching or upending, you know, the traditional formula of you go out there, you make sales, you generate revenue, you deduct your overhead and expenses, and then you've got your net profit. And he was really saying, well, hey, let's take a look at reversing this because too many businesses end up with no profits at the end because what they really should be doing is the reverse, where you have your sales and then you pull out your profit first, what you want to make or what's reasonable to make, and then whatever you have left over, that's like your budget to spend on your expenses. And if it doesn't fit in the budget, then you have to cut those expenses. So I love that philosophy because I think there's so many people out there that just work like a dog and they never make any money off of their businesses. So if folks are interested in learning more about Mike's philosophy, they can listen to Business of Craft episode 61 because I think there was a lot of insight there.
Yeah, I think that's terrific advice. And, you know, we see that a lot with people that are trying to exit their business and, you know, they haven't paid themselves over time. They haven't reported a profit over time. And when they go to transition out of that business, sell that business or you know, do something else, you know, they're stuck. They put their time and effort and energy into this business over years, and there's really no value associated with that business at the end of the day. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with creating profit and paying yourself to do the work that is often time consuming and tough.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So we've talked about a couple of key components of the business plan. Can you give us a third? What would be sort of your next section you'd tackle in the business plan as being the most important?
I really encourage people to think about how they are going to sell their business, meaning how they're going to go to market and get customers in the door or reach directly out to their customers. You know, sales and direct sales or sales through marketing is probably one of the toughest components that I see with businesses. And, you know, we are all experts in what we've started as a business. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten into it. But sometimes that missing factor is just because I build it, people aren't going to necessarily walk to the front door. And so if this is an area that you don't feel comfortable with or you don't have a lot of sales experience, I would really encourage you to think honestly and critically about how this is going to happen for you. Without sales, you don't have a business.
Right. And I think in the craft space, especially, a lot of people get into the business because they love the craft, right? They want to make hand-spun yarn, or they want to dye fabrics, or you know, whittle knitting needles, or whatever it is. They love that part of it, and that's where the skill is. And then they're like, "Oh gosh, I forgot. I got to sell this thing." So, what advice would you have for somebody that might not really feel like they're good at sales, or they're going to struggle a little bit with that whole marketing piece?
Sure. Well, I think that really comes back to your go-to-market strategy. If you are opposed to sales, period, I really would question if this business is ever going to be successful. And if it's something that you're willing to take on and learn and engage in, you know, and I think a lot of it comes back to that passion. Again, I keep using the word, but you know, it really comes through when you're passionate about your product and you're willing to reach out beyond people coming in your front door, which in my mind is really what sales is about, is creating connections and networking and trying to solve people's problems or a missing need. And if you don't have that skill, I would suggest, you know, trying to get some additional education around it. Also look to what it would take to hire somebody. And you know, make sure that that's a well thought out plan or portion of your business plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about this marketing piece, but we're going to take a break real quick for our sponsor, and we'll be right back. So stick with us.
This episode of Business of Craft is brought to you by Stitchcraft Marketing. Our agency specializes in social media planning and execution for clients in fiber, fabric, and craft industries. If you're launching a new business, we know you've got a lot of hats to wear and a lot of jobs to do. We can help you put together a solid content strategy for your social channels and teach you best practices for posting that leads to sales. Complete our contact form at stitchcraftmarketing.com/contact for a free 30-minute consultation on how you can get started off on the right foot. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to season two of Business of Craft. My name is Leanne Presley. I'm your host, and I'm here with Sean Allison. He's a local SBDC consultant and business expert, and we're chatting about the business plan, that one critical component of launching a brand new business, and we're kind of walking through some of the steps that you need to be successful there. So, Sean, before the break, we were just talking a little bit about sales, and you know, how do you fill in the gap if you don't have that skill. I want to get your opinion on this. So I have always been told and taught that the owner of the business is undoubtedly the best salesperson, right? They know the product. Just like you talked about it a minute ago, they understood what that missing need was. They know why they brought it to market. They can tell the story. Would you agree with that? Or like you had just suggested a minute ago, can you just, you know, hire a really good salesperson and insert them into the business?
Hiring really good salespeople is really challenging. Being a successful quality salesperson is not an easy job, and those people are not easy to find. You know, I think, you know, to answer your question, a business owner needs to be able to sell their product, period. And yes, you can bring on additional salespeople. You can grow your company regionally or locally by adding those sales components. But an owner, in my opinion, really needs to understand the sales process before they go out and hire a salesperson. We see that a lot where people, they're struggling from on the financial side. They're not making enough money because they don't have enough sales revenue. So they'll take a big portion of their overhead and they'll go and they'll hire a salesperson or try to bring somebody on a commission only basis, for example.
Right.
And without a defined sales process, those people are really going to flounder. Mm-hmm. And you can churn through a lot of your seed capital that way. And so I really encourage, you know, business owners to understand what that sales process is, be successful with that sales process before they run out and try to replicate it with a salesperson. Mm-hmm.
Great advice. And I totally second that on all fronts. So that touches a little bit on the employee question, kind of touches a little bit on a section of the business plan that I want to unpack with you just a little bit, which is sort of that management and organization piece. You know, what else needs to go into that section of the business plan to make it feel complete? Because I know this hiring piece is often a conundrum for new business owners.
Yeah, I think it really depends. If you're a sole proprietor and you're going to try to make this happen, this business happen on your own, it's really hard to do everything. So what can you outsource? You know, you mentioned accounting and bookkeeping. You know, that's a great area to look at as far as being able to peel that component out and allow you to spend more time selling and marketing your business, for example.
Right.
And then, you know, and also looking at your skills and where you're best suited. So if you're looking at a multi-person organization, you know, where do you need to fill the gaps? Maybe if you're really production oriented, you're really good at the behind the scenes, then maybe it does make sense to try to bring in somebody that can really ramp up your sales and marketing and really has specific skills in those areas.
Right. Okay. Do you think that there are elements of the business plan that should be deemed more important? Like, let's say, for example, like you mentioned earlier, someone seeking money from a bank or outside investors. If I'm the kind of person that needs money to get my business off the ground, should I be focusing on one area or another of the business plan?
I think that goes a bit back to my earlier comments that the business plan, the words that are written, the diagrams, the research are all there to support the financials. So the bank is going to look at the financials first, and then they're going to make sure that you've kind of plugged in the gaps and the holes with, well, how did you come up with these numbers? You know, if you're looking for $100,000 in manufacturing equipment, you know, where did you derive that from? How did you put that together? If you're looking at your business plan and you're going to start selling $50,000 a month right out of the gate, well, that's great, but how did that come to be? Are you leaving one opportunity to start this and you're gonna have customers follow you and all of a sudden you have all these contracts that are just gonna fall into place? That business plan really needs to tell that story and really support the numbers, so to speak.
Right. So, right. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think what I often hear, some of the feedback I hear about why people don't write a business plan, is because it's just so tedious and it can be really time consuming. And, you know, sometimes people have another full-time job or they have kiddos at home and it just seems kind of impossible. So I wonder, as a consultant, have you sort of seen any best practices or tips or any processes that you can share with us to help make it less painful?
I would say this: don't boil the ocean. really, you know, use this as an outline, use it as an opportunity to really plug in information as you start going through your due diligence and your fact-finding mission. You know, if you get stuck in a particular area, move on. You know, the business plan can be something that is never done, where, you know, you utilize this roadmap, and as the situation changes or things start going really well, you can then take that and expand on a certain area to continue your success model. And then on the flip side, I would say this: if you can fail on paper before you ever start a business, that's the best thing that you can do. Your time and your effort and your money that you've spent in your research is way, way less than it'll ever be as a business owner. And especially if you're looking for financing in from friends and family, you want to make sure that you have a roadmap in front of you that's going to be successful.
Good advice. I love that. It's kind of along the lines of that fail fast philosophy. You know, if you're not going to have a viable business, you want to figure that out as soon as possible, right?
Yeah, I've had some great successes in my business career, and I've had some epic failures. And you know, if I were to look back on those epic failures, the thing that I didn't do was fail fast enough.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many great ideas, and you know, that's the exciting part about being a business owner, is that you can create your own roadmap. And when things aren't going right with your original plan, you can change directions. There's nobody telling you can't do that. It's up to you to really go left when you were going right. And if you have a plan and things aren't working out, and you can stay above the emotional investment that you have in this business, then oftentimes you can make those critical course corrections. And oftentimes, you know, that business plan can kind of be the thing that you lean on when things aren't working out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I love talking about failure and fear of failure on Business of Craft. Longtime listeners know it's sort of a recurring theme because I really want listeners to know that failure is a learning opportunity, right? You can get so paralyzed by the fear of failure that you don't move ahead. And, you know, maybe for some that means you're not cut out for entrepreneurship. But I think if you can bite that bullet and you can, slay the dragon of fear, you've got so much green pasture in front of you. I mean, being an entrepreneur is one of the most rewarding things of my life. Kind of along that line, Sean, do you think, and I don't want people to think that you're going to make a mistake per se, but are there things that you see in a pattern that are mistakes people make with writing a business plan, or give us some feedback of where we can look for the pitfalls?
Yeah, I think, as you start developing the plan, you're going to have to put some stakes in the ground as far as, our anticipated first year sales are going to be X and our anticipated expenses are going to be X. So one of the things that you can do is you can get access to industry ratios. And so that's really helpful. If you're knocking down 80% profit, there's probably something wrong in your plan. Mm. And so, it's really good to benchmark your plan against what the industry is actually doing.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with having high profits as long as they're supported. And so you may have created a way or a niche that has tremendous profits, but just be able to support that.
Right. And what happens when you get into it? Let's say you're an entrepreneur that's 3 months or 6 months down the road. Do you have certain benchmarking timeline or timeframes that you advise people to revise the business plan? Or is it more of, it's a static document and then your other documents are more dynamic as time goes on?
Yeah, I think all of it is supporting, it may come in a different form. For example, 3-4 months down the road, you may have said, hey, I've done my launch marketing. I've had my open house. Now what? And so, maybe that's the time to really pull out a marketing calendar and to say, okay, after I got through my initial or that didn't work as I thought it was going to work. So I need to retool and I need to come up with some new marketing initiatives. That could be the same with some of your assumptions. I had in my business plan that I was going to be able to create 50 units a week. Well, that's just not reasonable. So I need to scale that back. And so I need to look at what that's going to look like if I'm not capable of producing that much volume.
Mm-hmm. And do you sometimes recommend people have different scenarios? Like in one scenario, I'm going to sell 50 units. In another scenario, I'm only going to sell 10 and then run the numbers that way? Or do you usually guide people to just, like you said earlier, put your stake in the ground?
Yeah, I think you need to put your stake in the ground, but as you start truing those numbers up based upon research and having conversations and doing your market analysis, there's nothing wrong with having a best case and a worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. And making sure that the numbers still work at both ends. We haven't really talked about things like seasonality, right?
Right.
Business growth is never a straight line. You tend to have months that are slow because of tourism or seasonality or buying habits or whatever they may be. And
right.
So and oftentimes you don't know what those are until you live them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I can just attest to that. With Stitchcraft Marketing, a lot of our clients are in the knitting space, and there is definitely a seasonality to, we even call it knitting season inside the shop here. And we definitely need to take that into consideration because consumers just spend less on yarn in the summer. So our clients need to account for that in the books for sure.
Absolutely.
So Sean, I know we talked a little bit about the financial piece being an important part of your business plan, and then we touched a little bit on the marketing piece. And I want to just point out to listeners that we did record some other episodes, one with Susan Dunn and another with Jamie Bilsbach, and the two of them go into great detail about these two topics. So just want to reference that for our listeners. You can find all of those shows listed in season two of Business of Craft. So Sean, as we start to wrap up here, I'm wondering, do you have any other books or websites or resources, things that you use to help people out with the process of creating their business plan?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the resources that the SBDC recommends is a book by an author, Rhonda Abrams, and that's Successful Business Plan, Secrets and Strategies. And that's a really great resource. There are also some really good financial forecasting spreadsheets that you can find through the SBDC and the SBA. Okay. If you're a little more tech savvy and you'd like to have more of an internet-based solution, there's a site called liveplan.com, and they do a great job of walking you through creating a business plan online. Mm-hmm. And that's a nice resource as well. So those are kind of three or four off the top of my head.
I haven't used Life Plan. Does that have like different payment levels, or is it just a one-time fee? Or do you know?
I believe it's subscription-based, and it has a nice entry level price point.
So. Awesome. Yeah, that sounds cool. I also just want to mention for our listeners, if you happen to be in the central region of Colorado and you want to work with Sean, you can do that. He'd be happy to review your business plan. You can visit the website at centralsbdc.org. And I believe those sessions are free. And I always like to also point out, if you're not in this region, we have, there are SBDC offices all over the country, and most of the time those services are free for users. I know here locally clients can work with counselors up to like 5 sessions each, and that could be just a really great way to help you get your foot in the door or get started on your business plan. So definitely take advantage of the SBDC services. So Sean, thank you so much for all your insight today. I hope that our listeners feel like now they've got the tools they need to get started on at least sketching out that business plan. So thank you very much for your insight and for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That wraps up another edition of Business of Craft, brought to you by Stitchcraft Marketing. If you'd like to review show notes or learn about our marketing services for crafty entrepreneurs, visit us at stitchcraftmarketing.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe so you get all the latest episodes.